Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Gregory Copley, my mentor and colleague, Defense and Foreign Affairs. Beijing, unusually quiet. It always reminds me of the dog that's not barking story in Sherlock Holmes, one of the great ones. A dog that didn't bark. Why? Gregory, the silence is not calming. China has hunger. And the hunger is in all directions, but chiefly to sustain power, especially Xi Jinping. Why suddenly is he not commenting or not moving in some fashion, knowing that Mr. Trump and Mr. Putin are talking directly? What's up?
Well, I just wrote a lengthy piece about this called The Loud, Clear Messaging from Beijing's Silence. We've not seen this degree of calm and silence out of Beijing for a long time. Doesn't mean that Xi's not active. He's maneuvering in small ways to get his people in place to do things. But basically, he's been essentially cornered by the older cadre and senior leaders of the Communist Party of China, despite the fact that Xi had attempted to eliminate physically all of his key opponents. He hasn't been able to do that. In fact, he was never going to be able to do it because he had alienated all of the princelings, his own class of a generation of Communist Party junior cadre, if you like, who've now come up through the ranks. He alienated all of them because he took away all their privileges. He basically destroyed the marketplace, which Deng Xiaoping was able to stimulate after the death of Mao Zedong, and we see Xi living in an antique form of Maoism, which has basically led the PRC to bankruptcy. All of this massive wealth built up by China has been frittered away. So now the party's got him cornered. He has been reportedly quite ill, one, possibly two strokes over the past year. He hasn't got a lot of options at this stage. So we have to look at not what we're seeing being done or what's being said, but what's by not being said. So right now, we're just seeing, if you like, the muted phases of the Peking opera is what we see. But what's going on behind the scenes are what we need to be worrying about. Firstly, I think that they're not able to take major strategic initiatives. The fact that they were able to be absolutely ignored on the Russia-US talks in Riyadh was a key indicator. Beijing banked on being able to get into that as one of the arbiters of the end of the Ukraine war. That didn't happen. We saw the incredible failure of mainland China or Beijing in the Trump initiative towards Panama. Basically, even before the incoming Secretary of State Marco Rubio arrived in Panama, the Panamanian government had gleefully not surrendered, but shown its love for Washington by saying, yes, and by the way, we're not going to renew the Belt and Road Initiative because, frankly, it does nothing for us. B, we are going to control the Panama Canal. The Chinese cannot and will not. Yes, there's a problem of Chinese influence within parts of the country, but the U.S. is our main friend, and we want to keep it that way and literally welcome that back. So for those who are argued as to why Trump launched his own version of Wolf Warrior diplomacy on places like Panama, Greenland, and so on, here's your answer. The United States has now won game, set, and match this over the People's Republic of China on the question of the control, if you like, or access to and influence over the Panama Canal. There's this discussion that China controls the Panama Canal. No, it does not. Secondly, China quote, has controls the ports at each end of the Panama Canal. And even that's questionable because the control of those ports was obtained by Li Ka-shing in his Hutchison Whampoa company, which was a Hong Kong company. And they're experts in managing ports. Hong Kong Hutchison Whampoa company was running the ports in Hong Kong. And Li Ka-shing, by the way, very, very pro-British billionaire and very pro-Hong Kong, which means that deep down inside, he is very anti-Beijing. Now, yes, as a now part of the PRC, the Hong Kong companies have to report to Beijing. But this is not quite the same as having Beijing controlling the canal. They will have had some influence, and that will gradually be eroded, both within the intelligence capabilities of the PRC in Panama, over its operatives in the region, and over the ability of mainland China to use Panama as an obvious stepping stone into the Caribbean and into the Southern Americas. So that's been a very successful thing. And yet it was done initially by this bombastic wolf warrior diplomacy of President Trump, then emerging as a very soft, friendly outcome. We'll start to see something similar in Greenland, which will ultimately not alienate either Greenland itself or Denmark, which owns Greenland, but it will see a diminution of the Chinese ability to use the Arctic for its strategic purposes, including access to fractional orbital bombardment systems and the like, and satellites, which are in polar orbit and which are very dangerous to the West. So the US will gradually reduce Chinese access to the Arctic. And the US could have done this at almost any stage over the past decade or two, but chose not to because the government wasn't interested in a coherent global strategic policy for the United States. So that's now coming to pass. But with Xi Jinping himself, what we have to see from this silence is that they're in no position to respond directly to the United States, largely because of lack of funding, but also because of the declining capability of Xi Jinping himself. I believe that he has been contained by the elders of the Communist Party of China, that he may be replaced this year, simply because he's running out of any meaningful clout. The PLA has made it clear, the People's Liberation Army has made it clear that they are not responding directly to him, and they don't have the necessary strength to tackle a major international confrontation with the US or even with Japan or in India, for example. So they're now going to have to play it very carefully. I think the elders have basically reined in this period of Xi Jinping thought. Xi Jinping had initiated this whole process of Xi Jinping thought, which was to mean to create an ideology based around him in the way that Mao Zedong had the Mao Zedong thought era. Xi Jinping attempted to emulate that, has failed to do so. He is now contained. He cannot last long, but I don't know whether the Communist Party has an ideal successor for him in mind. Certainly, they will not allow a single leader to control all the levers of power, which Xi Jinping briefly did. They'll look again to collective leadership in order to preserve the party. But they'll have to really work very hard to stop this massive public unrest which is taking hold in mainland China today. It's much like the whole period after Stalin. And Khrushchev had to blame all of the pitfalls and economic decline of the Soviet Union on Stalin in order to not have people throw him out for the failures of the Soviet Union. And so post-Xi leaderships will basically pull down the symbols of Xi Jinping as an aberration, and he's to blame for our problems. He's to blame for our next generation of humiliation, because the Chinese Communist leadership have been terrific about blaming everybody else for their failings. We saw this century of humiliation, which the Communist Party of China said they had to appease, in other words, because they'd been humiliated by foreign powers. But that humiliation was brought about by, initially, the absolute and abject failure of the Qing dynasty, which ended in 1912, to basically keep sovereign borders safe for China. So basically, Chinese should have been blaming the Chinese, not the Japanese and the West, for the century of humiliation, just the same as President Trump can't talk about the century or the decades of humiliation brought about by the Clinton, Obama, Biden eras. You know, this is an American failure, which America has to own. It can't blame it on Canada or Mexico or others for taking advantage of that situation. But it's about taking national sovereign responsibility.
I have two headlines to illustrate your case. First, Xi meets China's business titans, including Alibaba's Jack Ma. That sounds like a climb down, but it even gets better. Second climb down, Xi seizes DeepSeek momentum to restore China tech chiefs to spotlight. President offers reassurances after crackdowns, even as he stresses need to serve party strategic aims. Gregory, they blasted the well-to-do Jack Ma and his organization. They stripped it of its power. They demanded all the data sets in Alibaba and Tencent. And then about the tech giants, there are no tech giants because it's all based on borrowed IP and the overwhelming presence of the party at every board. There's no independence. She did this purposefully because he needed to maintain control. Now they're advertising that they didn't. My understanding is the reason they're advertising they didn't do this is because foreign investors left and they're not coming back. Is that accurate?
That's absolutely accurate. And 2 years ago, the party elders told Xi Jinping, get back on board with the foreign direct investment from the United States in particular, or you'll be facing big trouble. And she tried. That hasn't worked. And we saw in the past 6 months, foreign direct investment in China from the U.S. and others has declined by 99%.
Right.
That's dramatic. And so the only place he can turn is to the domestic market and domestic entrepreneurs. And even there, with this latest meeting, which she held with the tech leaders, so-called, is that he again tried to insist on, you're doing it there to support the party. It just doesn't work that way. Xi just cannot change his spots. The Deng Xiaoping knew that you let the entrepreneurs run wild, and the state and the party will benefit. But Xi can't abide that because he's a control freak, and he's in this case he did two steps forward and a half step backwards. So he's getting better, but he's on a tight leash from
it's
the
too
elders.
Late, Gregory, nobody trusts this. Nobody. I mean, he's
correct.
Been driving out a major American corporations for more than a decade, probably back to 2009. And DeepSeek, I mean, we know the facts of DeepSeek. Deep Borrow, okay? I'm being generous here. But DeepSeek is a startup the way somebody collecting trading stamps is a startup. So what is striking to me is that he still hasn't been removed because he's the problem. Or do they see that now?
Well, I think they were afraid to have a very visible break during the transition to the Trump administration. They were hoping for a calm response from Trump, and they got it. They got a better than they deserved response from Trump. He didn't punish them as much as he could have, and that was probably wise. Now they're going to have to come to grips with it, and they know exactly what the strategic landscape looks like for the next year or two. They are going to have to regroup. They have to get rid of Xi as soon as possible, but without losing face. They have to find a way to blame the problems on Xi and not on the party. And that's not an easy thing to do because Xi has made it clear that he is the party, right, or he was the party.
We're going to King Charles Report. Gregory Copley, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
Terms and conditions apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This message comes from Greenlight. Ready to start talking to your kids about financial literacy? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app that teaches kids and teens how to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest with your guardrails in place. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on what your kids are spending with real-time notifications. Join millions of parents and kids building healthy financial habits together on Greenlight. Get started risk-free at greenlight.com/iHeart.